Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You probably received one of these coming in. If you did, there's time on the way out, but just a reminder, and I'll fill you some more details after communion. At the end of Mass, but we have our blessing of our new Marian statue in the grotto out front, and inviting everyone to hopefully join in on that. We'll use these cards. I'll say a little bit more about them too as part of our blessing and our prayer together. Hot off the press. Stay tuned for that. It'll be right after Mass. We'll go outside together. Last night it was pouring. We thought it might be, so we were inside for part of it. We saved some of the blessing for this morning. But good news, be encouraged. You and I must undergo many hardships in order to enter the kingdom of God. And yet, that's what we hear in our first reading. That's how Paul and God, through Paul, encouraged those early Christians and encourages us today. Encourages us. That strengthens us. It's a very odd way. Not immediately what I would think is, let me hear some encouraging words. You must undergo many hardships. In my prayer this week, something came to mind from an inspirational feel-good film from my youth, which I still enjoy watching from time to time, that I think helps break open. Why is this encouraging, and what is God saying to us? When I was growing up, I liked to play basketball. I was not that great at it, so by high school I was relegated to pickup games. But in my youth, one of the films that came out was a film called Hoosiers. And you probably have heard about it, I hope you have. But if you haven't, it's worth seeing. Still enjoy watching it. It's about basketball in Indiana. It's about a small town in Indiana, a very small school within that small town. And they get a new basketball coach. And they have a very small team. They haven't been good for a while. And he comes in, and one of the first scenes in the movie is him meeting the guys on the team. There's only seven. And in their first meeting, their first conversation together, he kicks two guys off the team. He doesn't do it because he doesn't think they have something to offer to the team, or he doesn't want them there, or doesn't want them to be a part of the team, but because of really their mindset, their approach, their mentality, and kind of their refusal, at least in that moment, to be able to make the changes necessary so that they can win. And the next scene is him leading the rest of the team in practice. The five guys that remain, and they're dribbling balls and weaving in and out of folding chairs that have been set up on the gym floor. And one of the guys says, "When are we going to scrimmage?" He says, "We don't scrimmage. We're not going to shoot basketballs either. We're not going to shoot either. Then my practices are not designed for your enjoyment." And why? Because he wants them to win. That's part of why they play basketball. Indeed, he wants them to win the state championship. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the film, I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you, they win. They win the state championship. But he knows that basketball has to be played a certain way. It's not like they can go out on the court and decide we're going to make up the rules differently. And he knows what it takes for a team, for guys their age, what they have to do. And he knows that they have to undergo many hardships to get there. And following Jesus, God makes it clear, as we heard today, there are hardships. And some hardships that we encounter specifically as we follow Jesus. Not because God is arbitrarily making things difficult for us, or just wanting us to suffer, or putting obstacles in our way just because he's a mean guy. But precisely because of who we are and what he's about, our redemption, our healing, our salvation, the path to our own fulfillment and happiness has to go this way. Similar, not the same, but similar in the sense of to win at basketball, you have to do certain things. And so also for us, because of being made in God's image and likeness and who we are, and also as well because of our brokenness and because of sin. And yet it's precisely that an encouragement to say, in Jesus, we're going to succeed. That's our second reason, God's promises to us. I'm making all things new. Behold, I'm making all things new. I'm making a heaven and an earth. I'm making a life, a reality, where there is no more suffering and death and sorrow and weeping and pain. That hasn't happened yet. It's God's promise to us. He's saying, this is the path to get there. Not unlike in that movie and in a situation like that. It's to be able to say, they have to trust the coach in some way in that movie. The guys that stay seem to stay because I think they want to play basketball. They don't have a lot of reason to trust the coach yet. As they begin to win and some things change, the level of trust and confidence in what he's doing grows. We're here this morning because of our faith, because in some way we've encountered Jesus. We know that he's trustworthy. But part of that persevering in faith, that's what we hear in our first reading. That's not knowing some stuff, but it's living in a certain way. Part of that trusting in the Lord, is knowing at times God is leading us as we try to live his commandments, as we try to live them out. It's difficult, it's hard, in all sorts of ways. And it's to say, sometimes the reaction is, I don't know how this is making my life better. How is this helping God? And God's encouragement is, trust in me. It is. Have confidence. You know, at the heart of that, one essential aspect of that is the Holy Spirit. Jesus says something very unusual. We're about to celebrate a Pentecost again, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In a couple of days, five of us from the parish and a bunch from St. Robert's and John Vianney as well will be confirmed on Wednesday and receive the Holy Spirit in a fuller way. But Jesus says something. He says, it's good that I go away, meaning return to the Father, that I'm no longer kind of here physically in my humanity in the same way. Why is that good? He says, because I have to do it to send the Holy Spirit. And if you think about throughout all of church history, it's the Holy Spirit that kind of helps convince all of us that Jesus is trustworthy. It's to be encouraged. It's to recognize sometimes in our lives we can be a little bit like those basketball players, those players at the beginning, right? They were kicked off the team because they didn't have something to offer, but it's because they refused to acknowledge that their way kind of was the wrong way. They thought they knew exactly how practice should be run and the role that the coach should and shouldn't play and what they got to do. And of course, that only led to losing, and the coach knew that. They didn't see that yet. God's desire, God made all of us to share heaven, to be happy, to have a fullness and abundant life. But that doesn't mean that, therefore, we always know what it is and we can tell God, this is what you need to do for me to make me happy. At times, he says, this is what you need to do to be happy. But there's another moment in that film that I think is so helpful, too. Because we can have that mindset. Sometimes there can be a resistance to God's commandments. But sometimes we're just weak. At one point, we meet one of the fathers of one of the basketball players. The coach goes to meet him. And at the time that we meet him, he's kind of in the midst of alcoholism. He's really struggling. He's not succeeding in living sobriety at all at that point. And the coach says, I need you. I need you as an assistant coach. He knows a lot about basketball. He says, but I need you to make some changes. I need you to shave and clean up and wear a suit and come to practice on time and come to games on time, and I need you to stop drinking. You can't drink around the kids. And at the moment, the dad is, he feels kind of judged and he gets upset and he doesn't see What does that have to do with basketball? But he begins to come around and begins to really try to make those changes. And he's not perfect. At certain points, he kind of fails spectacularly, but nobody gives up on him. And it's very clear, he has a role to play, and that's where he's meant to be. And that's true for us, too. We don't always struggle with the same sins and the same challenges, but we all have them. And all of our kind of attachments to sins, whatever they are, in one way or another, are a little bit like addiction. We've been hearing a lot, I don't know, I think you are, I know I am, a lot about kind of a mental health crisis. There's a lot of people in our world, and we're not immune to this in our culture, in our society, that are struggling with hopelessness. And ultimately, it's God who provides hope for our lives. It's Jesus who gives understanding and meaning to our life and brings hope. And to know his promise for every one of us. Behold, I make all things new. That's true for your life. God sums up all of his commandments in love because he is love. To love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love your neighbors, ourself. Jesus makes that clear. How do we love one another? As he loves us. And he says, if we do that, then people will know that we're his disciples. That is kind of the fundamental way that we bring that hope to the world, that we witness, that we want to use a churchy word, we evangelize. How we talk about one another and how we talk to one another. How we treat one another. How we care for one another. How we talk about those who have hurt us and done us wrong and how we talk to them. How we talk about and treat and talk to those who oppose us. And this applies right to every area of our life. Finances, how we use what we have, our relationships. Just love that image. I think it applies perfectly to those words today, that they are encouraging words, that as we meet hardships, we have to go through them, but it's not some arbitrary suffering. It's not like God says, just prove how much you love us by just suffering in any old way. But rather, it's God saying, I'm doing something good. I'm making all things new for you, for every one of us. And yet this is the path to conclude, especially thinking about Mary and this month and our new statue. She said something very similar to a woman now 550 years ago, not that long ago in the annals of history, but now called St. Bernadette. And when she appeared to her and she started talking to her, and one of the first things she says, I don't promise to make you happy in this world, but in the other world. Not that God isn't concerned about our happiness. He's tremendously concerned about our happiness. Him knowing the way there. It's following Jesus. And so to look for those opportunities, to know we'll encounter them. You don't have to search them out, just to be aware. Those hardships come. He's doing something good. Let's stand together and let us profess what we believe.